Be turning to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This is another one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Every verse in Psalm 119 has something to say about the Word of God. And it's just a very good passage of Scripture. But we're going to be looking just at verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 8, but we're going to look at verse 1 tonight. Psalm 119 and verse 1, it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with the uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You tonight for Your many blessings. As we take a look at Psalm 119, Lord, I just pray that You'll speak to our hearts and help us bring out the truths here of Your Scripture. And we'll thank and praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. What does that remind us of? When I first read that, it made me think of Psalm 1. It kind of correlates with Psalm 1. And we can turn back there to Psalm chapter 1. And it kind of reminds me of the same, it's a similar passage. Because it starts out and it says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." He says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. We see here Psalm 119 is the longest psalm. It's 100, if I remember right, I got to look. It's 176 verses. It's the longest psalm. It's the longest of the chapters of the Bible. And it begins, as I pointed out, the first psalm, with blessing upon the life lived in righteousness and true holiness. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. We're going to turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. Actually, we'll start there. Verse 22, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. Created in righteousness and true holiness. And then we turn from there, if you keep that in mind, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So we see here, it's saying, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. This is more than a mere profession. This is actually doing. But we'll get into more of that here shortly. We looked at the word blessed. It means simply to be happy, prosperous in worldly affairs, enjoying spiritual happiness and the favor of God, enjoying heavenly felicity. And that's out of the 1828 dictionary. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. See, the way of holiness also is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is in Romans chapter 8. And we're going to come back to Psalm 119. But we've got several verses here we want to take a look at. But Romans chapter 8 kind of ties together with what we're looking at tonight. In verse 1, it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, comparing it to the chapter 1, Psalm 119 and verse 1, in the last part of the verse it says, who walk in the law of the Lord. See, it's about our walk. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In direct correlation here, see, the way of holiness is the way of all of God's true children by virtue of his very nature being implanted in us through the miracle of regeneration. And it's truly a miracle when our heart is regenerated. It's made new. He takes the heart of stone out of us and makes it a heart of flesh. But see, we also have, there's a different law that's opposite of that, and that's the law of sin and death, which is served by one who habitually walks in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands in the way of sinners. It's just the opposite of what we just read in Psalm 1, and also sits in the seat of the scornful. See, there's a great difference between the child of God and the lost man. The writer to the Hebrews, which is Paul, commends the faith of those who confess that they were strangers and pilgrims in this earth. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. Well, actually, let's just back up to verse 8 and then we'll come down to verse 13. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We also see there in Romans chapter 4, I just want to point this out, Romans chapter 4, just referring to Abraham, we see that in the first part of Romans chapter 4, it says, what shall we say then? Abraham our father, as pertaining to flesh, and hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham, what? Believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And then we see down here, further down in chapter 4 there in verse 18, it says, who against hope? So actually with verse 17, it says, as is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He was way past the years. He says when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. See, that's faith, taking God at his word and believing him. But Abraham was led about into the promised land, not knowing where he went. He wasn't led blindly. He was led by faith because he trusted God. God told him that he's going to make a great nation of him. So the writer of Hebrews, Paul, commends the faith of those who confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And then we have Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And then we see John in 1 John, the same contrast, chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." See, we go back to Psalm 119. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." And see, they're given that comparison here. They're giving us warnings. We're not to love the world. As it says in Psalm, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." He's blessed. Why? Because he abstains from these worldly lusts. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." We're blessed when we're obedient. We're blessed. God blesses obedience. He punishes chastens those who are disobedient. See, the promised blessedness is based off our walk with the Lord. We must not be professors only, but possessors of his so great salvation. And see, the problem is there's many professors out here, but they have nothing to go with it. They talk a good talk, but they have no life or no walk. James chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "Faith without works is dead." But see, James tells us that, "I will show you my faith by my works." See, our walk needs to show that we have faith. Our walk needs to show others that we have lived, that we are living for Christ. See, a lifeless, hypocritical, empty profession of faith costs nothing. But walking with God implies a movement forward, even when the way is through adversity, persecution, and temptations. It also says, "Ye who are godly in Christ Jesus," and I'm not quoting it word for word, "shall what? Suffer persecution." When you live for God, it's not the easy way. It's like there's a difference between going with the flow down the stream or cutting against the current. There's a difference. We are going to face adversity. We are going to face persecution. We are going to face temptation. See, the Word of God never tells us that our walk is going to be sinless because we still live in this flesh. Paul in Romans chapter 7 says, we'll turn there to Romans chapter 7. There's a war going on between the flesh and the spirit. And see, in Paul in chapter 7 of Romans, see, he says there's a strife between two natures under the law. He says in verse 15, it says in chapter 7 of Romans, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that what I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. See, there's a war going on. There's a constant struggle. And see, thing is, when you're a child of God, what you feed the most is what's going to rule your life. If we feed our flesh more than we do our spirit, then guess what? That's what's going to rule. But if we die to ourself, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31, he says, "I die daily." If we die to self, self-desires, and we feed our spirit, and we keep it nourished more than we do our flesh, then it's gonna preside. It's gonna rule in our life, and that's what we're after. See, instead of being sinless, there should be a lot less sin in our lives. We're gonna sin less. We're still gonna sin. And we are still going to sin until he comes back for us one day. We're justified. We're made right in the law of God. We're made right. We're justified. But sanctified, it's a process of taking us from what we were and making us more like Christ every day. But then when we're glorified, that's when we become sinless. That's when we receive new bodies. That's when Christ is coming back for us. But see, we as God's children, when we meditate on God's goodness and his glory, We can be compared to the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. They didn't want to leave that point in time in their life. And when we have that mountain high experience in our own spiritual walk, we don't want to leave it. But in order to get to the next mountaintop, what happens? We have to go into the valley to get to that next mountaintop. And then also we can be compared to the spouse in Song of Solomon. Chapter 5 and verse 3, and it says, I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? See, we can thank God that 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. Because as Christians, when we do sin, or we have some defilements from the world, we cannot go out into this world and not be defiled by it. We come in contact with things in the world, and that's why we need to come in for that what? Daily cleansing. It's a picture, if we look at this whole situation, it's a picture of back in those days they had public wash houses where they went. And they wear their robes and they wore sandals and all that. They go and they get clean, but yet they got to put those sandals back on to get home. And what happens on the way home? Their feet get defiled by the dust. So there's a daily cleansing. It's a picture of the Christian's walk. We need to be cleansed daily by God's word. See, she says, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? See, they're going to get defiled. That's why there's daily cleansing needed. See, we see in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. See, there's a daily battle we must be involved in. And that is the battle against sin. the sin that so easily besets us. See, and two, there's a battle of the contradiction of sinners against him, as it says there in verse 3. It says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." And who can engage in such warfare with the dust of the battle, his own indwelling sin cleaving to him? See, we can stand on Christ's gracious promise, as we read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." It cleanses us. See, thank God for 1 John chapter 1 and verses 7 and 9, as it talks about being cleansed from sin. It talks about if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It starts with confession, but there's a cleansing that takes place when we delve into God's Word. See, there's some good examples in the Scriptures. We're going to take a couple good examples here. And we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 39. There's a couple good examples here of men that lived for God. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." Blessed. These men stood for what was right. These men, no matter what, did what was right. And God blessed them for it. We see in Genesis chapter 39, and we're going to start in verse 5. It says, "And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house." And this is speaking of Joseph when he lived in the house of Potiphar. He was made overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused. And said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. See, Joseph, in the heat of the moment, did what was right. See, God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 13, he says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." And that's exactly what happened. Joseph took that way of escape. Joseph, all the way through the Scriptures, the next instance, he was thrown into prison. He was there unjustly. He did nothing wrong. Then the butler and the baker were thrown into prison by Pharaoh. And that's where Joseph revealed to him through God, not Joseph, but God revealed through Joseph the dreams. They went back. One was killed, one was hanged, and one was restored to us. And then Pharaoh had a dream and nobody could tell him his dream. Joseph was restored through that. He went from one place, but he was the highest in the jail. He was over the jail because they trusted him, because he walked with God. He was obedient. But then God raised him up to help save his own nation, his own family. And as we see there in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, it says, "But as for you," and he's speaking to his brothers here, "ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." God used Joseph because Joseph stood for what God... He blessed him. Why? Because he walked with God. And see, when in the heat of the moment, when he was tempted, he did the right thing. He fled. He was punished, but he did not sin against God. We also see in the life of Daniel. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 1. This is another good example of a man who stood for what was right. Daniel chapter 1. Starting in verse 8, it says, "But Daniel..." Actually, let's go back to verse 1 so we get the whole picture here. "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried unto the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them daily provision of the king's meat and the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, of Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." He purposed in his heart. Okay, just keep that in mind. "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your face as worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat." See, Daniel purposed in his heart what happened. He purposed to do what was right, and God blessed him. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence. We need to guard our hearts. We need to guard our minds. We need to guard our eyes, our ear gates, everything part of us. We need to guard from this world, this wickedness around us. Daniel purposed in his heart to live for God. And God blessed him for it. He also blessed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for their obedience. And see, later down the road, as we read, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And it says, "One likened unto the Son of God." They threw three people in, and there were four in the fire seen. And not one of them smelt like smoke. They weren't singed. They weren't anything. God protected them. Why? He blessed them for their obedience. Because they were willing to take a stand for what the things of God, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the consequences. And God blessed them for it. See, God's grace was sufficient for them, and it will be sufficient for us. Psalm 119, verse 1, it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." God's going to bless all of His children who walk in His ways. Let's pray.